Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the object of our faith, dear fellow redeemed, it's amazing how fast 4 years can go. The Winter Olympics already are upon us. How different the Olympics of our day are from the days of yesteryear, for Paul's day, for example. Today's Olympics are worldwide affairs. Millions of dollars are spent to put them on. Millions of dollars are spent to televise them around the world. And the competitors compete for a gold medal and possibly the millions of dollars that come with it in endorsements or advertisements for being a gold medal champion. It wasn't quite that way in Paul's day. In Paul's day, they had the Isthmian Games. They were second only in popularity to the ancient Olympic Games. The athletes from Athens and Sparta and Corinth played in these games. Paul had spent 3 years in Corinth, so he probably knew about those games and maybe even had attended some of those games at a time or two. One of the things that remains the same in those games of Paul's day and the Olympics of today is the training. How are the athletes trained? Young people, hour after hour after hour, 7-8 hours a week, every week, day after day, training for the Olympics. Paul draws a comparison in our text between the extended training process of these athletes for one cause, victory, and then says, that's the need for our self-discipline to be able to have our spiritual training for one cause, that's eternal life. So the Winter Olympics are upon us. They start February 8th. But the question this morning is, are we ready for the real Olympics? What is the real Olympics? It's running for the real race. It's running for the real prize, the eternal prize. As I said earlier, Olympic athletes give of their time and dedicate their whole life to this one cause, being the best in whatever sport they're competing. Speed skating, ski jumping, down the slalom. 6 to 8 hours a day, day after day, week in, week out, to reach a pinnacle of their sport, to be the best, the first. All for what? In Paul's day, a wreath of laurel, wild olive leaves placed on their head, and the fame and glory of knowing that you were the best. You were number one. In our day, it's a gold medal. And possibly the millions of dollars that come along, as we said, with endorsements. But even if it is a gold medal or a $5 million Wheaties contract, Paul says it is all perishable. It will not last. When the Olympic athletes of the past have died, their gold medals, their riches, all passed on to someone else. Their heirs, maybe a museum, maybe a Hall of Fame. And on Judgment Day, all the gold medals and all the riches of this world will come to an end. But for the child of God, the believer in Christ, that runs the real Olympics, that takes part in running the race for life, the prize, the goal, is eternity, everlasting life. Peter tells us, when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. In Revelation, the Lord Jesus says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. With that important a prize, we had better be ready to run. For it's not just a matter of being first or last, winning or losing. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. This race, the real Olympics, is a matter of heaven or hell. And that's Paul's first point in our text. Paul says, this is a contest for an eternal prize, everlasting life. And Paul's second point is, this is a contest which requires continual spiritual training. Paul writes in our text, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Another text puts it, translation says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. The word for strict training or temperate literally means self-control, struggling with one's self-discipline. In an athlete's case, that's one of the most important characteristics, self-discipline. Their diets are carefully monitored. Their sleep habits are carefully supervised. Their practice sessions need to be timed. They push themselves, but not too much, so they don't get injured. They live by one rule, the rule of self-discipline. Eating, drinking, sleeping, exercising, free time, everything is carefully disciplined. And this is done so that nothing will stop them. Nothing can stop them get that quest, that goal of being the best. Every time I watch the Olympics, I always am amazed and wonder at how much time and how much effort and how much discipline those athletes have to dedicate their whole life to this one cause. Their whole youth, teenage years, to doing the same routine things over and over and over again so they can do it perfectly, the best. This self-discipline, energy, determination, courage, and time it takes, that's very rare in the world. And that's Paul's first point. It may be rare in the world, but it's not rare in these athletes. And the amazing thing, Paul says, is not rare in these athletes to give over their time and their efforts in such self-discipline, and they know that only one of them is going to win. Spend 6, 7, 8 years of your life, and you run a race, and you lose by several hundredths of a second. And then what you win doesn't even last. That's why Paul says, we strive for a crown that lasts forever, and everyone who finishes the race wins. Don't be just one winner and all the rest losers. In the race for life, all win who finish the course. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In Philippians 3, he writes, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This crown of righteousness, this crown of glory, this crown of life is ours through Christ's perfect life, his sacrificial death, and his resurrection from the dead. It's been earned for us by Jesus, and is given to every single one who finishes that race, gets to the finish line with faith in Christ. Here, Paul is talking here to Corinthian Christians. People in Corinth were surrounded by temptations. Surrounded by temptations in their society, in their culture, and of course in their hearts. And many Corinthian Christians were tempted to live in Corinth and do in Corinth as the Corinthians did. They found it very easy to hold hands with immorality and idolatry as long as you held your other hand with Jesus. In other words, yeah, I can confess faith in Jesus Christ, but I can also live my life like the rest of the world lives. And that's so easy for every single one of us to fall into the same temptation. To convince ourselves it's just too hard to run that race down that strict and narrow road of God. It takes too much time to continually exercise spiritually, reading the Bible, saying our prayers, keeping our eyes focused upon Jesus, confessing our sins. It's so much easier just to run whatever way we want to, go down whatever path we want to go, ski down whatever hill we want to ski, and do whatever we like. It's so easy to get distracted, too, as we run the race. Distracted by the goals of this life, by the cares, the worries, concerns, aims of this world, to run aimlessly without a goal, or as Paul says, to beatbox the air wildly, and to get nowhere. So what's Paul's solution? Paul's solution to the way of self-control and self-discipline? Summed up in two words. Beat yourself. That's right. Beat yourself. We read again verses 26 and 27. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, aimlessly. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The word here for discipline literally means to smack someone in the face and give them a black eye. To beat someone. Paul says, I beat my body and make it my slave. Now, Paul's not a masochist. He's not saying we should actually physically beat our bodies like Luther did when he was in a monastery. He's talking about bringing our sinful flesh into subjection. Every one of us has a heart that's filled with sin. Sinful desires. Infected with sins of thought. Sins of word. Sins of actions. Sinful desires arise in our hearts, and then our bodies carry them out. Sinful desires take over, and we're led away from God. Away from the goal. Away from skiing down the proper hill, running the proper route to Jesus. Paul says, discipline yourself. Beat up your sinful flesh. We do that by confessing our sins daily, acknowledging that we are indeed miserable, sinful wretches, and that we need Jesus Christ, looking to him for our strength, to him for the encouragement, strength to live for Christ, and to keep our eyes out for temptation. Temptations like talking like the world talks, gossiping, cursing, swearing, lying, slandering, defaming others. Temptations like living like the world does. Running after worldly goals. physical pleasures, material things, giving into sexual lusts, arguing and fighting with their parents, cheating at school, cheating on our taxes, gambling away our goods, despising God's word. Paul writes in Romans 8, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Paul says, resist and repent by beating your sinful flesh. We read in Hebrews 12, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." As we said, Olympic athletes have specially restricted and well-balanced diets. Well, God says that we have a well-balanced diet too. He says, "I am the bread of life. Eat of me. Spiritually digest my word. You eat of my word and drink of my word, and you will have the strength and the courage and the encouragement to be able to run the race of life." That gospel message of salvation is that we need to eat on a daily basis and drink on a daily basis so we have the strength and the courage and the wherewithal to be able to run the race of life. One man wrote, "Holy fear of ourselves and not proud confidence in ourselves is the best security against falling away." Read it again. "Holy fear of ourselves and not proud confidence in ourselves is the best security against falling away." And that's true indeed. A holy fear of ourselves, of our own sinful nature, of our own sinful flesh, leads us to daily acknowledge our sins, repent of our sins, and look to Jesus as our strength, to his word. We're assured of full and free forgiveness alone through Christ's great sacrifice, his death on the cross, his resurrection for us, his sacrifice for our sins. And that will lead to a life of loving service, spirit-led prayer life, willing obedience to God's commandments, joy-filled worship service of the Lord, spiritual self-discipline, spiritual training that keeps our eyes focused upon the goal, which is Christ Jesus and eternal life. Then we'll say, as the believers of the past said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And God be merciful to me, a sinner." We will also have confidence not in ourselves, but in our Savior, the one who redeemed us with his blood, and through his Spirit sanctified us to live for him. As Paul says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So how is your race going? Have you been training? Have you been spiritually exercising? Have you been eating a good diet? Diet of God's word daily and consistently. Indifference to the gospel message is the norm, the commonplace reaction for most people. Are you prepared for the real Olympics, the real race for life, to eternal life? And then do away with indifference. Then God's saving love revealed in Jesus Christ will move and motivate us to want to be serious and sincere and devoted and dedicated to our spiritual running program, to our spiritual hearing of God's word, confessing our sins, and looking to Jesus alone for life and salvation with the single-minded goal of everlasting life with our triune God. Then we'll be able to sing with the hymnist, "My course is run, praise God, my course is run. My Jesus welcomes me. Farewell, my friends, my work on earth is done. The heavenly goal I see. My dear Redeemer's praises voicing, I leave this world with great rejoicing. My course is run, my course is run. My course is run, my Jesus took for me upon himself my guilt. Upon the cross, the bitter, shameful tree, for me his blood he spilt. Thus by his death and grace abounding, for me a refuge surely founding, my course is run. Freed from all trouble and repining, I see the open heaven shining. My course is run. My course is run." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.